But given that you're in grad school and supposed to think smarter, what would you do instead of memorizing this? Come on, guys.
Big model.
Huh? Yeah. The model. You'd smooth it, you'd make a smooth equation, right? Which, and you'd look at, because it has gradients in two directions, right? From this is no whatever down to the worst, with very high wind and very cold temperatures, right? Yeah. How easy is it to memorize this? How easy does it look? And when would it be very easy to look, to memorize? What kind of pattern would be very easy to memorize? If it were linear this way and linear this way. Oh my God, we only need to know two numbers and the corner. The corner plus two gradients. That's your basic linear regression model, isn't it? This is a linear regression surface. This is a surface, right? But does it look linear?
No.
It looks very nasty.
Yeah.
Which is the stronger determinant? The wind, the temperature, or the wind?
Per unit temperature.
Temperature.
Huh? Temperature looks stronger, right? There's a bigger gradient, but it isn't linear, right? So if you memorized it, that would be the best way you could reproduce the data, right? You could fit a model, and you'd probably have to do not splines, but fairly complicated curvilinear things, right? With powers and polynomials in both directions, you might even need products, right? And then how would you summarize how good you're doing with your takeaway little pocket equation that then you could reproduce? How good would you say the fit is? How would you tell people, look, my equation is good enough. I'm going to make an app for this. I'm going to make an app for this. The smart app would just look up the table, right? But let's say you hadn't the table at all. What would a smart app do? It would have the coefficients. You type in the two, x1 and x2, and you get the number. And how could you tell people it's almost as good as the table? What number would you use to tell them it's almost as good as the table?
How far off it is on average?
Huh?
How far off it is on average?
Look at this guy. He's a good communicator with the public. How far off it is on average? See what he's... I didn't even think of that. I was thinking of an R squared.
Yeah.
But in fact, yours is way better. Yours is way, way better. Isn't it? Yeah. How far off is it on average? Yeah. Exactly. There's a very nice example of this. If I gave this in color, we could color code this and make it a color coded chart too, couldn't you? Right. A bit like this. They've only got two colors, right? But that's the same idea. But you could make multiple heat map of this. It fits with a heat map perfectly, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a heat map for wind chill factor, right? As a function of temperature and speed of the wind. It turns out, you know, when you do images on a computer, what's the most common format for images nowadays?
PNG, JPEG,
right? Why PNG? Why has PNG taken over from JPEG? It's on the web, mainly? Yeah. Is it official?
Yeah, it's commonly used, but I forget what it's probably something to do with the structure. I think it's very... Like, it's compact.
Is it lossy? You know the word lossy? L-O-S-S-Y? Do you know that expression in imaging? It means that once you compress it and you save it as that, you can never go back. Right? That would be like saving this table with a smoothed function, and then you can't go back. You're at R squared or whatever, and you can't go back. Is JPEG loss or free, or can you go back? To the original?
To the original, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah. There's even in the JPEG, there's some loss. Right? Same thing, audio file. What's the most common audio file today? MP3. MP3 is about a gig per meg per minute. What are the full versions? If you do a CD, and you look at a CD or a DVD, what is it per minute there?
They get huge.
You have 60 minutes on a CD, for about 500 megs. It's about 8 megs per minute, and they've reduced MP3 down to 1. Again, where's the loss? There is some loss. But to me, that's what equations are about. Their equations is get the main structure close enough, and then there's a little R square, right? So all of that stuff is a very nice example of how you're teaching regression, right? It's just the same thing. Except the thing is, with JPEG, you don't know what kind of shape it's going to be in it, so you have to be very clever. PNG thing. The other reason PNG is popular is I think JPEG is actually still copyrighted or patented. Oh. You're not supposed to, you know, it stands for Joint P Photograph. It's Hollywood, made up JPEG, for distributing movies and distributing images and so on. So I think they still want a royalty from you, and I think PNG is free, royalty free, and something like that. But almost as good, something like that. But they're a lovely example to me of regression, right? Because all regression is about finding the smooth pattern, be it a linear, be it a surface, be it whatever, and then there's always some penalty. And the penalty here would be the loss, you know, the rounding, the, you know, whatever way I want to do. And also, I suspect even here, God knows if this is a real number or not. There may be a kind of conceptual errors in what it is, because you have to think of what the heck does Winchell mean. Anyhow. Okay, so that's that. All right, so today, let me go to our... I have to figure out where it is. I think I have it on here anyway. It's easier. I can't use my full screen here, so I have a problem. So I'm going to... It's the first time I'm using this particular thing. So I just need to get my exercises so I can see. I added new ones last night, so the menu will keep being renumbered each week as I move on. Course is 691. Yeah, so I need to go to these. But I've added a lot more on, but I will add the chill factor on as well. But I've added a bunch more, and we'll get them as we do. But next week, just to say, where are we? Down here. It's called Women and Math. That's the main number, the main data set for next week. Women and Math. But don't look at it. Yeah, it's number 2033. Don't look at it. I don't want you to look at the way the data were set up, right? We want to think of our own. Right. So let's go back to here. So I asked people first to, on their own, think about, and again, the main issue, I think, with data analysis is you know how to run the models, although you do too many of them, but then how to get it from there to a table or a figure or a way you can say it easily to CBC when they call you for data. Right? That's my main thing. So, for example, this one, I found really poor communication of this. Did the sunscreen work? And how much did it work? And what's the subtlety of it? Why is it a complicated story to tell? I mean, let's say that in words, first of all. What's the complication here in telling the story about how much the sunscreen works? What's the complication?
It works better for sunscreen. Yeah,
there you go. The answer is, and apparently Mietnin says this when you're talking and taking questions from an audience. He says, whenever ask somebody, how well does sunscreen work? Your answer is supposed to be,
It depends.
You see? But the very fact that he says, that gives you time to think of an answer, first of all.
Yeah.
Very good trick. But you knew the answer already, so that's fine. Yeah, and that's the point today, is that what does it depend on? How freckled you are. Right? Yeah. So that's the main reason. So it's a good story, but it's a complicated story. So normally we like things to be able to have only one number where we can tell somebody it reduces things by X percent. We're here now having to say, well, if you're freckled, it does a lot of good. If you're not freckled, it doesn't do much good. That's the message, isn't it? And now it's a matter of quantifying that. Right? So that's the hard part for you guys of data analysis, is actually then the last step. But the analysis is the same. We have their model. I don't have to refit it. In fact, we don't have the data. But the question is, can we translate it to a better way of talking about it? So let's say, again, you're going on radio, and someone says, how well does sunscreen work? Come on now. Let's now think about your answer. You have 30 seconds of a sound bite that you're going to get for this. Can you tell me in plain words, and I don't need exact numbers at this point, that's not the point, how am I going to How am I going to do this? Isn't this the paper? Right? And isn't table 4 here the crazy model? Where's table 4? So basically what we're doing here is we're going to have to convert this damn thing to something you can say on radio. And are these relevant? Greed and sex, are they relevant here? From the point of view of the radio? Are you going to get into that? No. What are the rows that are relevant? Is this relevant? Yes. Is this relevant?
Yes.
Very relevant. Is this relevant? Yes. Even more relevant. Right? This one? No. This one? No. Because I don't see any modification by that. If any of these things modified the effect of the sunscreen, we'd have to think about it. But the only thing that's modifying it is the fracking. So that's the point. Yeah, so now, actually, this is the same model as this diagram here. Right? Basically. The good thing is the diagram has the story for you. So I think it's easier to think from the diagram and forget their model and go back and then do the thing. So how are we going to summarize this for the radio program?
The mole fragments you got, the mole protections you can get from.
Right. So you don't look to me like a freckled person, right? So for you, how much good will sunscreen do?
I guess almost zero.
According to this, anyway, zero. Yeah, nothing, right? That's right. Yeah, because even if you didn't get it, or you did get it, it would be the same, yeah? By the way, get used to, when you're talking about it, don't talk about the control group and the experimental group. It's not relevant. What's relevant to the public is, if I do take it, if I don't take it. That's as far as I go with causal inference. I'm not going to learn causal inference formally, I'm too old. And I think it's overhyped, and I'm saying that on tape as well. I think it's become an industry, where now people talk in jingo, and I think the important thing for the public here, if I do it, if I don't do it, that's the counterfactual. So I have borrowed the counterfactual from the causal people, but that's all I'm borrowing. The rest I'm using my gut for, right? And you cannot prove mathematically causation. So that's a bit of a joke to think causal inference is going to mathematically say, I know it's the cause of something. You don't. And you never will. We're in a business where we're not in physics here. Right? Yeah, okay. So then, for you guys, so wouldn't that be a good place to start? And say, for those of you out there who aren't freckled, probably not much good. Right? So we've covered one end of the spectrum here right now. So that's finished. We have one group now, we've told them. That's the it depends, not freckled group. Then what? What are you going to do next? So you have the model, but it's clearly a model with an interaction term in it, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. In fact, how many terms in this model? How many equations, how many terms in this model with these two lines? Oh, there's, I see three. There's three coefficients in this model, isn't there?
Yeah.
What are the three coefficients? That's one. And then there's one slope for that, that's two. And there's another slope for that, that's three. So again, without even thinking of it, it's three models. Yeah? If it was parallel groups, it would only be two, right? You'd have, well, three maybe. Parallel? How many would the parallel group? If it was two parallel lines, how many terms in that model? There's three as well. There's an intercept for one of them, there's a slope, and then the other one is you go up a bit and you have the same slope. Right? So it's three as well. Yeah.
But it's parallel. Why would it be? It's parallel, right?
These are not parallel. Right. Yeah, parallel line. So you have one. Here's the first line. So that intercept, that slope, and then the other line. So three parameters. The four parameters. Where's the four parameter model?
With the interaction.
But this has an interaction and it has only three in it.
So it's not.
The intercept.
It turns out the intercept is.
This is four parameters. So four.
This is 4?
Yeah, this is 4.
Why do you say that? I have this number, this slope, and this slope. That to me is 3. But in other words, you want to put the line going down negative, right? So you're fitting 2 crossing lines, aren't you? Yeah. If you are interested in the full 2 lines all the way to the end, right? Then, yeah. But what I'm basically saying is at 0, I think it's only 3. I only need 3 numbers to draw these 2 lines. Am I correct? So there's only 3 parameters in the line, in the model. I think it's because you want to go further down and see what's going on beyond that. So right? It's a special case because we're really starting at 0. Right? I think that's the reason. Right? Okay. So now we've done this one. It's no use for people without freckles. And what are we going to do now for the others? Come on. I mean, you have all your fancy models. Come on. The rubber hits the road here.
It is friendly to people with freckles? It's friendly for people with
freckles. It's helpful for people with freckles. So now you've got to pick a place. Give me a freckled person of a certain amount of freckling and let's do it. Right?
Yeah.
What kind of freckled person are you going to pick?
50-50.
Yes.
50, because why?
It's in the middle.
Maybe this is more in the middle. You see, again, 50, if you go up to 70, it's okay. But if there's no people with 70% freckling, that's kind of false advertising. I would rather kind of take the typical person. If you said the typical person with 30% freckling, right? And I'm not, right? That's about more in the middle. How much is that? Right? Here. So we could read off the difference here. But to make it easy for the moment, let's take 100%, just because the math is easier. But in fact, I'm telling you, you should do 30% on the radio. Right? But let's do 100% just because the math is easy. Can you now put numbers to this? Because now they want numbers. So what number will you put here? And now I'm merging a bunch of reporting issues now. What number are you going to put here? What? Because they only allow you one number on radio. Not see my table. They couldn't read your table. And I think now you have to bring all your EPI, all your training from EPI in as well, your reporting training from EPI as well as from stats. And the stats people, I think we know what to do. We would just take this, would we?
Replace it in the model and see the difference.
Yeah.
And so that, how much is that? Your eye can tell me, please. Yeah. How many extra nevi is that? 25 extra nevi. So basically we're saying if we've saved you about 25 nevi over that many years, 3 years or whatever it is, yeah? Right? I agree. That's a good number. And then we can give whatever that. But I would actually go back to 30% of that. 30% of the 25. You can. Right? It would be fairer reporting. Right? Okay. That's still, I think, a bit annoying for a reader. It saves you. So instead of 25, this would be 30% of that. 30% of 25 is about 8 nevi. How many nevi do I have? How many extra will I have? Is that something people are used to?
No.
So again, what could we do to help them?
Percentage?
Aha, percent, yeah. So, you know, you could say over 3 years, the average person here will gain about how many nevi? 60, 55, 60, right? So, yeah, the average person would have about 60 extra nevi. Is that, no, not 60. That's about 30. 40 maybe. 35 Nevi over 3 years. Right? This is 3 years, three summers. So that's about 10 Nevi a year that you're picking up from the sun. Right? And so now, you follow me?
No, like, so how did you count the number of Nevi's again? Like,
because it's over here on this side, and I just went to 30%, and I'm talking about here. I went about, I'm going from that dotted line over to about there.
Oh.
It's maybe 30 or 40, or 35 or 40. So I'm saying the typical person would pick up 35 Nevi. But some pick up a lot more, but some less, but that's kind of an average. Right? You could be one of these people too.
Yes.
Right? But yeah, so they pick out about 35, that's the average, right? In 3 years. And now, if you took the sunscreen for 3 years, you'd only pick up what? Whatever that, eight less. So that's 28 or 30, call it 30. So instead of 35, you'd only have 30. And now you can make a percent of that. See what I mean? So it's a long ways from the model. See what I mean? The model's fine for doing the summarization and all that, but it's the translation of this that's the hardest. And that's what marks you as somebody who's able to communicate this stuff. And you're not actually sacrificing any rigor, you're not doing anything different. If somebody wants a conference interval for that, is that hard to get? No. You can bootstrap it, you can do the delta method, you can do whatever. It's not that hard once you have the model to get the uncertainty right there instead of that. Yeah. So that's the point. So, this is a very nice example of interaction. You know, mind you, it's a very small effect, isn't it? And there's a hell of a lot of noise here. So I think there's... And I'm very bothered by the fact that there's a few very influential observations here. Right? This is really scary to think that these couple of freckled people are driving the whole thing. Right? And there's a lot of noise here and here. So promising, you know... A difference of 7 Nevi, you know, if you're up here, maybe it'll reduce it by whatever. Yeah, from here down to here. Okay, so you're happy with that? Yeah. So that's you see what I'm saying? This is very little to do with the statistics itself and the modeling. It's all to do with the translation. Yeah. And my main point in all of data analysis is when you do fit a model, please be able to look at it. Can you find in here the number we were looking for? Can you find the number we're looking for in here now? In other words, can you go from the parameters and do the translation? If there were no diagram, the diagram is very easy, but from this table, could you have done it? Well, how? First, they didn't give an intercept. So the intercept is missing, actually, which is a pity, right? People think the intercept isn't relevant. Well, actually, if you want to draw the data, the intercept is kind of relevant. So the intercept must be around 50 if everything starts at 0. Right? Yeah. By the way, if you do this to me in an assignment or a paper or your thesis, I'm going to say I've got to fail you. You know? I mean, really, guys. Come on. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with calling it that? And I don't mean gender either. As opposed to sex, because there's a debate of whether it should be called gender or sex. Guys, show that you're sophisticated, okay? And you're thinking. What does this mean? How do you code it then in the data set?
Female or male?
Put one of them as the variable, and then it's an indicator variable, and then you don't need a code book. You don't need to look up, oh, did I put male, female, 1 and 2, or 2 and 1? You never need that if you do it as 0, 1. It's an indicator variable. So pick one of them as the reference. So what does this say? That means that relative to the reference group, I know which one it is, the other group is 1.5 lower. Yeah, that's what it means. And don't say if you increase one, you say one group is lower. That's a causal inference statement. It says it's just they're lower. I'm not saying it's causal or anything. But when you start saying, when you increase one, the other increases, that's a causal statement. For all you fancy guys who are telling me about it's only association, the next word you use, when you increase X, this happens. Well, I don't increase X. I can't change somebody from a man to a woman. So forget that. You say men have 1.5 less than women, or whatever, or gain. Yeah, okay, so how are we going to finish this? Or where are we going to get them here? Can you notice here, can you notice anything about where is the 25? Can you find where the 25 extra or fewer Nevi are that were out at the right-hand side? Now, can you find that 25 that we calculated here? Can you find it here?
It's in the 38.
Huh?
It's in the 38.
It's in there? Is it? It is? Is that all you need?
No.
That's not all you need. You see, this is the damn thing. Yeah. To put this interaction is really insulting to JAMA readers. A JAMA surgeon or a JAMA dermatologist is not going to understand you here. An interaction. I mean, come on. So what do you need besides this number?
Grade is really important. Grade has a lot of weight. Grade has a lot of weight, technically.
Never mind.
Doesn't matter.
No, we're keeping that out of there.
Oh, we're not? Okay.
Yeah, we're not talking about that at all. That, what's grade? Grade is just your age. Mm-hmm. And you're out maybe more in the sun if you're older or something. That's all. Mm-hmm. Are you bigger? You're bigger and you're going to have more Nevi. That's all it means, right? I don't think it means anything. You know, you see what I mean? Yeah, yeah. It's just a surrogate for age.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But, and 6 is not a lot anyway. It's 6 out of 50. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. What was I going to say?
Lost 3 units.
Yeah, so how are we going to get the 25?
We need the effect of freckling.
The effect of freckling, what's that? What is that 0.12? What is it? Can you point it to me in the diagram? What's the 0.12? Where is it in that diagram? This is what I'm saying. This stuff is absolutely key. By the way, PhD students in EPI, in the past, when I was on the exam committee, when Andrew Benedetti was on the exam committee, we always looked for an example of exactly this thing for get people to translate in the exam. You had to know your interaction stuff, right? So, all right, so where are they now?
Is it the difference in slope?
No. Well, this is the point now. You're doing all this modeling. What is the 0.12?
It's the control group.
It is the slope in the control group. It's the slope in the control group. And does it look right? Yeah. 0.12, yes. If you go by 100 of those, you're going from about 40 to 52. Yeah, or something like that. Or 30 to 42. Yeah, so it looks right. So this is 0.12 here. Okay? What is the minus 38?
It's the slope.
Huh?
The difference between the slopes.
The difference in slopes. Yeah. So an interaction term, the beta in the interaction, is a difference of slopes. So I would say start with one slope and then get the interaction, the difference in slope to get to the other. So what is the other slope then? What is the other slope?
Minus 26.
Minus 26 is the other slope. You agree? Yeah. It's a long ways from 633 or 533, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, this is it. This is real now. It's 20, and that's 26. Now, does that make sense?
Yeah.
26. So that's a minus 26. The other one's a plus 12. And I think that's what gave you, from 12 to 38, is the 50 difference over at the end. See me? Here. Yeah. So it all fits now. See why it's such a nice example? And the good thing is, we don't need the raw data for you to go play new models with it. Let's understand the model we have. Right? That's all. Okay? So, what are we going to say to them on TV? Come on now. They're going to call us up now. Have we got our script ready? Have we got our script ready? What are we going to say? I would say, first of all, it's not a dramatic effect. That's the first thing I'd say. In fact, for people without freckles, it doesn't seem weird. I can't see any difference. Right? And for your typical person who's about 30% freckled, And the effect is bigger in people with more freckling. See what I mean? That's interaction. The effect is bigger in people with more freckling. That's the expression. And then, so I say, put that in numbers for me. I would take, if you take the typical person around 30% freckling, what did we say this was?
Eight.
It was a difference of 8 out of about 35. So it's about 8 out of 35. It's about 25%. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's a 25% reduction, isn't it? Or 25% difference. Yeah, reduction. Is a reduction a causal word? Yes. To most people, reduction is a causal word. Yeah. It's somebody reduced it. You reduced it by taking these. Yeah. But you see, all you causal people are very loose about certain things. I like the word reduction. I like the word increasing. It actually matters. Yeah. So, okay. So that's it. And then if they wanted a conference interval of that, let's say they've been to engineering school or journalism school and they're told they have to ask for a conference interval. How are you going to get that conference interval? Do you know how to get it?
From the standard error.
So the standard error will be on the 8, won't it? I think this is a bit complicated now. You'll probably need to call in a math person to do the variance at that point. I don't know if it'll be coming out of the printout or not. Yeah. But then if you put that over the mean at that group, you're introducing extra variation. See what I mean? If you put the 8, which is a hat on it, over this 35, which is a hat on it, then it's a bit more complicated again. Yeah. Okay? Any more before we decide? I think we've kicked it around enough now. But you see how simple it is? And the main point. Yeah. So communication of interactions is important. Yeah. And let me give you one other to think about. Later. No, I just want to keep doing this. Okay. New one page now. I want to, for you, getting practice at doing interactions. I want this here. Any of you know the idea of ideal weight? You have any idea what that means? For humans. Human, your ideal weight. Okay. Are you at your ideal weight? Do you think you are? Would you like to be thinner or heavier?
I think this is pretty good. Huh? It's pretty solid where it is right now.
Okay. Yeah. Good. If you went too low, what would happen? And you starved yourself. And you had a BMI of 18. Right? What's the danger of having a BMI of 18 or 16, like some of the actresses and some of the celebrities? That's a dangerous weight, to be too low. Or it could be you're low because you're malnourished, or because it wasn't your fault. There was no food to have. Yeah, so there's that. So there's an increased risk to your health if you're below that. And if you were a BMI 34, that same issue. So it's the relationship between weight and health, or weight mortality, weight and health problems, is kind of a U or J-shaped thing. As somebody told us in the exam, J-shaped, or U-shaped, or something like that. Anyway, it's not nice and linear. Right? So there is a sweet spot, which is the best place to be. See what I mean? And the insurance companies worked that out about 60 years ago. And now they've revised it upwards. They've given us a little bit more. I'm glad, because I'll tell you the numbers. I think we've seen this. So, for example, right? Unfortunately, this is easiest to remember in pounds. Okay? So here you are. Okay? I allow you 100. Now you have to tell me how many... every 1 inch above 5 feet. Are you above 5 feet?
Slightly.
Okay. So if you're 5'1", 5'2", I'll give you 10 extra pounds. Okay, yeah. It's from the insurance companies of the 1960s and 70s. It was called the Harvard model for ideal weight. All right.
Does it take into account, muscle mass?
No. Come on. Very simple. Yeah. It is way too... Nobody fits this anymore. Nobody fits this. I don't know what it is nowadays. Okay? And for the men, you guys get 110 to start with, and you get 6 pounds. Okay? So I'll tell you my own. So I'm 5'6". So I'm 66 inches. So I get 36 extra there, so I should be 146. I'm actually 172. but when I was young, when I got married, and remember the first time I went to see a doctor, and I was about 26, and he said to me, you were allowed 1 pound per year for every year you're married. 1 pound per year, and I've actually, that is a pretty good trajectory of me. I've been married 43 years and I started about 128 or 130. Yeah. So I was there back then. Yeah. I've probably gotten shorter since as well, but anyway. Okay, so now the question is for the next day. Can you roll those two into one equation for me? Can you roll those two into one regression equation? Right? Anyway, you've written them down? I'll ask you next day. Yeah, 100 plus 5, 110 plus 6. So I need something probably with 4 terms in it now, right? We'll need 4 parameters. So you're basically matching up these parameters now, right? It's a very nice example. In fact, I think once I do this and once you've done this, you basically have all there is in regression. Because you have the most complicated regression, which is the one with interactions, right? Our product. Okay? This is the Harvard model. It's gone up since. I think they'll probably give us 10 or 15 extra pounds to start with. Yeah. But I don't know anybody who fits this anymore. Yeah. Okay, so we go back to our other one. And where was the other one? I was back at 691, no? So, this is where he's putting the, okay, I get you. What was the other one? Besides the, this?
Fluoridation.
It was looking at fluoride in kids, right? Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, it was a diagram, right? Oh, this isn't working. Okay, where is my... in fact, how long do we have to give for this? Is the one? Yeah. Convert the results of table 4 of this article. No, this one. Am I in the right place? Yeah? I thought I had a diagram of the thing itself. Is this it?
There is. In the article.
Huh? Yeah. Oh yeah, the figure is all I want. Yeah. The figure is all I want. Yeah. You're seeing the figure? Yeah. So now, if anything, this is easier almost. But isn't it the same pattern as the other one? And the other good thing is that they're kind of starting where, like, if you think of this as the richest people and the poorest people, the poorest neighborhoods and the richest neighborhoods, I mean, this is like 0 and this is like 100, right? It goes from minus 40 to 60, so that's a scale of about 100 as well. From least deprived to most deprived. And each of these dots is one neighborhood or one town or one village or something like that. And so this is a survey of what the kids' teeth were like, or how unhealthy the kids were on this scale against 3 groups of towns, right? ones who had no fluoride, ones who had, what's the dots? The dot is a natural fluoridation, and the diamonds are the ones where they put fluoride in the water. This is highly contentious, this area nowadays, as to in public health, as to whether there should be fluoride in the water or not. And this is probably one of the main reasons why. Right? So, if again you were invited on to the radio to say, how important is fluoride? What's your answer? By now you've learned from this guy. What's your answer here? You're the mathematician, right?
I don't know about you that far.
Who's the pure math guy? Is that you? Oh, you. Sorry, wrong. Okay. So the pure math guy now, either of you, what's the answer here? How important is fluoride?
It's important, but it depends on...
It depends. You've got to agree. It depends, right? It depends on what? No, but this is... I agree, but here it is probably one part per million. Here, that's what they put in the water. So I don't think it... Here it might be a little different because each town has its own natural fluoride level. But how they learned about fluoride in the first place was from looking at towns that had natural fluoride in the water. Yeah. So, but when they put it in, depending on where they are in the world, they'll put about a part per million. They'll put it a little less in the south of the US and a little more in Montreal. Why do you think that is? Why do you think they'll put a little more as we go further south towards the equator?
So less fluoride in the water, the further south?
No, they're putting it in.
But okay.
There's no. There's no fluoride in most water.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is a public health issue as well. It turns out if you're a kid in New Orleans or somewhere, it's hotter there. So you drink more water. So you don't need as much part per million. So kids in Montreal don't drink so much water, except in the summer, so they vary it that way a little bit to try and figure out how much. So this is a tricky business. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, so it depends. So keep going. So finish the story. Yeah.
It depends on if it's natural or...
No. Don't worry about that. Let's only take this one and this one for the moment. This is putting it in. This is natural. That we can't do anything about that. But here is a situation where they didn't have it. And where would they be if we had put it in? That's the way I think of this. This is their twin, their counterfactual. What if they're interchangeable with this in all other respects, but except for the water? So if we put fluoride in the water, where would they be? Leave the natural fluoride out of it.
The difference is bigger than water. The deprivation again.
There you go. The bigger effect, so it's most effective for most deprived kids, for poorer kids, yeah, and the other way around. Yeah, exactly. So it's exactly the same story, isn't it? Yeah. And again now, how would you put it? You have the three lines fitted already. How many parameters do you need to fit those three lines, to draw those three lines? Roughly. Six, yes, because they're three non-parallel lines, so ideally six. If you want to cut it down a little bit,
four.
I'd say four, and start them all at zero on the left-hand side. And then it makes the regression very easy, right? So it's four, right? So where are the other two gone?
Intersections?
Yeah, they're to do with the fact they're not all meeting at zero, right?
Yeah.
They're meeting in different places. But look, honestly...
Yeah.
It's so much easier to think about if you do it starting at zero. Yeah, exactly. You're learning from pure math. We're a long ways from pure math here, so we don't care about small amounts of things that are a little bit off. There's a joke, it's close enough for government work. Anybody ever heard that expression? It's a US expression. People work for the government, are contractors for the government. It's close enough for government work. It's an important principle here too. Let's not fuss about the small stuff. Let's get the big picture. Yeah. So I think four parameters would do it, an intercept plus three slopes. Yeah, exactly. And again, and that's all, really. And now the issue is how to say it, if somebody wants to put it in turn. And again, would you say in the absolute scale here? Would you stay in the absolute scale? In In others, I want to say for the most deprived kids, it's a different, let's say here, 3.5 and 1.5. That's a difference of 2 extra teeth, or a difference of 2 in the tooth score.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is the tooth score?
Very often, 5-year-olds, the most common in dentistry and dental surveys is either DMF or DMFS. DMF is counting teeth, and D stands for decayed, M is for missing, DMF, so decayed, missing, I think. What do you think the S is?
Filled.
Right? So, how many, where are you on that? You could say, you have so many decayed, even if they, some decayed plus filled, decayed, not filled yet, if you like, and then missing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can tell you
much. It's a count.
It's a count between 0 and 32 in adults.
There are some fractions in the. If you go back to the font, weren't there some that weren't?
Well, yeah, but it's an average over a lot of kids.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But per the individual, and they're only kids, so they don't have 32 teeth. Mm. I think that's probably their baby teeth, I'm not sure. So there's different ones for baby teeth and adult teeth. So that's the, my count is out of 32, mine is over 20. I have 3 missing ones, and all the rest have fillings or God knows what. Yeah, that's from eating sugar and no fluoride and no toothpaste when I was growing up in 1950 in Ireland. And we used to love eating sugar and stealing sugar from the cupboard. Yeah. Calories. Yeah. And candies as well. And there wasn't much toothpaste either. There was this paste thing that was ugly. But there wasn't the smooth toothpaste. There was this powdery thing in a round tin that you had a brush on your teeth. Dentifrice. Yeah? Today you guys would be 0, 1, 2, 3 decay missing. Yeah?
So I just wanted to confirm, like the 4 parameters they were talking about, so it's 1 intercept, 1 for the GEMMA score?
One for each, one for each, one slope per group then. See?
So one for the foundation group, one for
Yeah. Because they're all going up different bits. And the X is the slope, they're against the same deprivation score. Okay. Yeah, for all of them. Yeah, that's right. So intercept, this way, this way, this way. Yeah, think of it as how to make draw 4 lines, what do I need to start? Yeah, so this is the score. I don't know if this is the score they're using or not, but they. So DMF is the most common one. You would sometimes see, because it's a little fancier, DMFS. DMFS, if you're a dentist. If you go to the dentist charged by surface. And some teeth have 5 surfaces. Some have only 2 or 3. But I think the surface is about 120 or 130. Dentist charged by the surface. Because if there's a 2 surface filling, that's more than a 1 surface filling. Obviously, you guys don't have any fillings to worry about. Yeah, so that's what the score is. Yeah. Also, sometimes if you're in a big study and a lot of schools and you're doing surveys, the really smart thing to do is you don't even count the whole mouth. You count a quarter of the mouth or half the mouth. Because there's a kind of mirror images, so you get a lot of the same stuff. So if you're in a hurry and want to do a lot of kids, I learned this because I was involved in a big study in Massachusetts where we did 10,000, I didn't do any of them, but I picked the towns where they had to go before they put fluoride in the water in Boston. So that's why I'm attracted to these kinds of studies. Yeah. So this is, I think, the case score. I'm not 100% sure. It would be nice, given that it starts at 0, it would be nice if it's a count of teeth. Or some air surfaces. Yeah. But again, would you use, that's a difference of 2 teeth, right? Between, 3.5 and 1.5. Would you use that? I mean, once you see it, that's fine. But again, going to the public health people, they have to have a very fast way of seeing it. Yeah?
It might not look like the average. Maybe most of the points are kind of closer to the left-hand side.
Well, that too, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you think about it as to how much the averages have a meaning in public health, even though we don't like them, because you mean a mean.
Yeah.
As opposed to a median.
Yeah.
Right, I agree. But when it comes to paying dentists, do dentists get paid by the median or mean? Mean. In other words, totals is what counts for bills. So if the Quebec government were talking about how much would we have to pay extra for filling kids' teeth, the mean is what matters. Even if it's one kid is a lot and another kid's a little, the median, you can't multiply a median by the number of kids in the province and work out how much it's going to cost to fill all the teeth. So the mean sometimes means something. The other reason the mean means something is it's an aggregate. Right? So don't worry about estimating the mean might be closer to the middle of people and so on like that. Same if you're running a hockey team and you're paying salaries. The total salary for the hockey team might be $10 million. One guy might be getting $2 million of that and the rest might be getting nothing, the star. Right? But in the end, it's the average per player is still a meaningful thing. So same here. So I would say a mean's okay here. And also all the things we are wrong about means and medians for estimating individuals, when you talk about central limit theorem and talking about y-bars, the y-bars behave normally in sampling, right? You have a central limit theorem that says y-bar behaves normally. So don't worry if the y's are not normal, the y-bars are normal. See, it's something we forget. But my main thing here is, instead of a 2, right, should we again put it on a percent base? I think we should, because these are 5-year-olds. If there were 7-year-olds, what would this be? Everything would be shifted up, but kind of in a percentage way. So I think you have to think of scales a lot. Even though you may do the fitting in the absolute scale, it would be well worth it to think of what you'd do. So again, most of this has nothing to do with the models. They're very easy, they're simple, we have all the standard errors, that's easy. It's the communication of them that I think is... That's the difference between data analysis and whatever the other courses are called. Right? Regression. Right? Yeah. Okay. So that's that. And, are you going to say something?
No.
Okay. And, what was that for history? Yeah. By the way, I have here, if anyone wants to go through, this is a course I used to give on regression. And I used to collect up a lot of examples of interactions because it was one of the hardest things to teach. And people also get mixed up between confounding and interaction. Please don't. They're completely separate things. Confounding is in one chapter. And then these are all my examples. So the formula for ideal weight, there's the story of it. I won't give you the figure and I don't want you to see it. But again, the distance hit between two kinds of baseball bats. Which will hit the ball further? What do you think?
Aluminum.
Huh?
Aluminum.
Will it? How far do you hit a ball with a baseball bat if it's aluminum versus wood?
I would say the heavier bat.
It depends. Yeah, but in this chapter, we're obviously in the depends one. And what's the depends on what?
Because it has popped and the bat can go dead also.
It depends on where you are. It depends on where you hit it. See, where do you hit it on the bat? See that? Mm. See the bat? Yeah. Can you see it? This one here. Depends on where you hit on the bat. If you hit at the sweet spot, I think it has one answer. If you don't hit at the sweet spot, aluminum and wood are kind of a bit different. Wood is probably more forgiving, I'm guessing. I don't know. Anyway. But you see, the point is, it depends again. Any others? Average earnings is the same kind of thing. This is the one I gave you, broad spectrum. This one, very interesting. This is good genes that will actually make alcohol go through faster. They metabolize alcohol fast or slow. And it's a gene some people have and some people don't. About 16% of people have the two good copies of this, and they get great benefit from drinking alcohol. What's the benefit of drinking alcohol on mortality? I mean, if your parents ask you. All you epidemiologists, have you found that people who drink moderate alcohol have their lower rates of mortality? Again, it's the J-shaped curve, or the U-shaped curve, right? There's probably a sweet spot. I don't know if it's at zero or not, but some people say, moderate alcohol is good for you, relaxes you, or does whatever, right? So for many years, people say, oh, maybe 15 or 20% less mortality in moderate drinkers compared to no drinkers. It's very, very tricky to work it out. But then what this says is that if you have two good copies of the gene, there's a major effect of alcohol, benefit. But for all the other people, nothing. Nothing. It's like an 80% reduction. I mean, it's enormous if you look at it. Now they've seen it in two different studies. And it has to do with the speed at which alcohol is metabolized or something like that. It's why some people have trouble with alcohol. Do you have trouble? People of Chinese origin, for example, have trouble with that. You have no trouble with alcohol? Okay, but some people do. You know some people who do, right? Their face gets red.
Oh, yeah.
Those...
I saw a lot of people got that. Their face and all their
Yeah. This is the gene that it controls that.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but I'm Irish, but I'm not going to get tested, because then I might be found that I'm one of the 80% or one of the 0%. So I don't want to find that out. But what it's saying is that 20% is an average of a lot of no benefits and some big benefits in a small group. So all this funny thing of 20%, everyone thinks that we all get 20%. It's not. So the hidden modifier here is the genetics. So it's quite a, you know, an interesting story that you think of that. Now, this one. Again, what's the story here? And then, I don't want you to fit models here, although you could. What was the, what, where was the data? Here, I think, right? These the data?
Yeah.
What was the story here? These are a map of the different parts of the United States where you have a big supply of neonatologists and a small supply. It would be the same Quebec. I'm sure the map in Quebec is all the neonatologists are in Montreal for acquired life. And there's nobody out in the rural area. And does it make a difference? Does it make a difference to have, live in an area where there's more neonatologists?
Not really.
Huh?
No. Well, not very much. Like at each level of birth weight, the supply, the supply doesn't really make a difference at different levels.
That's it. If were you born in a normal size?
No, I was very premature, actually.
Like, where were you?
Where?
Where in this?
Oh, that's a good question. I was, I think...
Most of you?
In the second. Between
here?
1,000 and 1,001.
Oh my, seriously?
I was 10 weeks early. So.
Oh, whoa. But most of you, I didn't expect that. Most of you would be down here. I certainly was over this side, I know that. Mind you, neonatologists where I was born were 100 miles away, so they weren't much good to me. But I think all of my sibs were okay. Okay. So here, what's the story here? Yeah, if normal weight babies don't need neonatologists, right? But you probably did.
Yes.
Exactly. Where were you born?
In Calgary.
Okay.
But specifically because of the...
Yeah. But I don't know what the supply is in Calgary, but you obviously moved to where there's a good supply of them.
Yeah.
Probably, or your mother did. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and here? Here?
Yeah. It makes
it's a big difference. Yeah. So you see, it's a nice example. And now, how? It's very clear here that, the only people to benefit here are the small kids, because that's what neonatology is for, is the small kids, yeah. How would you draw this as a diagram? I don't like drawing it as a table. I'm not a big table person. Most of the epi journals are as boring as hell. They don't know. I think it happened when they were only using Windows and the rest of us were using Mac. In the old days, before they knew how to make graphs. Now everybody can make graphs and everybody has R and state and so on. There's no excuse now to waste a whole lot of stuff. Well, maybe it is. Some people are table people, right? Could you make this into a graph?
No.
How would you do it?
A heat map?
Huh?
Can we do a heat map?
A heat map?
Yeah,
wow.
Oh,
that's a wind.
Fancy.
Yeah.
I don't know, a bar chart. With the different, different, like a grouped chart, bar chart with supply and weight. grouped by supply and weight.
Okay. Bar chart? I thought I had a way here. Anyway, I didn't need. I was trying to get a grid here. So, tell me again.
So, like, if you have.
You have an x-axis.
You have colors for supply.
Oh, you've done it.
Colors for.
Oh, okay. Look what she's done.
Supply.
That's it. That's the one for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Can you turn it around so people can see it? Keep going on. So that's a big issue. Huh? Okay. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So you turned it sideways.
Same
lovely. Yeah, exactly. So which way? I get the big issue is which way do you want to read it? Because there's two scales, right?
Yeah.
There's the deprivation is one axis, not deprivation. The birth weight.
Yeah.
The birth weight and the
supply.
Supply is the other.
Yeah, I had it the other way around first, but then you can't really see because the point of this is like to show that the supply doesn't really make that much of a difference until you get to the
right.
Lowest.
Yeah, but I where's mine? This is what I was thinking of. This is weight. So this is normal weight. And so I had them all down here. And I'd have to have five different colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the supply, is that right? These are supply colors.
Yeah, the supply.
Yeah, and here, they'd be here. Right?
Oh, and then something kind of like a line like that.
Yeah, exactly. So the big thing is you would show this, that it's dropping very fast, and it's only probably the first category or maybe the first and the second. You want to leave them as, because this is 30 and this is only 1. Would it be nasty to, or false advertising, to put them on a log scale? Or would you rather the natural scale? Because they're hard to fit in. Or you want to be dramatic here. No, do you want to be dramatic? Seriously?
I guess so.
I think so, yeah. Because 30, I think if you took it in logs, which I was going to do, you were actually kind of down-weighting them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're kind of going up in logs, right? Mm-hmm. They're going up in logs. Okay, yeah, that's good. Yeah, I don't know, what is it with graphs and bars? People love bars, though. I'm a big believer in lines or just...
Well, but like in this case, like, lines don't make that much... Because you only have, like, you don't have the raw data. You only have, like, these...
Yeah. But I mean, to me, a line would be, this would be one line. This would be the other line. And then they would go like that, you know? And then, that's another way. I don't know, they... The best way. But sometimes so much solid color, because now there's an issue. You did them along one line and you sorted them and then you sort within that. So you have a double sort, right?
What do you mean by that?
No, turn it around again.
Yeah.
You have, I see 25 lines here.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's 5 by 5 or whatever, right? So now there's a question of which do you sort on first and which do you sort on second. See what I mean?
Okay.
And that debate is there as well.
But this is like you're showing that you have all this like in between that we don't even really know.
Well, but it would be that for real. I know, but it would be smooth, wouldn't it? If you did have them in 100 gram, if you had them in 100 gram differences, I kind of think it would be smooth.
It would be okay.
It would be smooth. So in that sense, that's I think of weight as, you know, the big thing is that it's falling fast.
Yeah.
So
if you did it on the log scale, would you still want a straight line?
I mean, I was initially thinking of logs here, and then things would be on a straight line, probably. But I think it takes away the message.
Yeah.
And the message is, you know, this is where it's needed. The one thing that would be nice to do would be to have something have the third dimension, which is what fraction are these of the whole thing? Because the under 500, that I don't know how to do.
Right.
But you'd want to put that magnitude in as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Okie doke. So that's good. Yeah. So another one. So it's the day. I mean, the one trouble with teaching this way is that all of today, it depends. It's all interactions. And so on. In real life, again, there won't be as clean as that. I kind of grouped all the it depends ones today. Yeah. Okay. And... That was it, I think, yeah.
But would you want to plot odds ratios as well, just to show, like, because in the data they had the odds...
I wouldn't. This is pretty dramatic, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's... But it's only because we're not adjusting for all the other things that they... Like, when you looked at the odds ratios, they adjusted for a bunch of things that weren't in the table.
Oh, I see. You mean they're on there because they were not equal in all other respects. Is that what you're saying? They try to equalize them for other things, right?
Yeah, and so it actually... Because the odds ratios don't actually change that much across.
Right.
And I think that's important.
Probably. Yeah, it doesn't much matter to me, but I still think of them as rates, and I would put adjusted rates rather than odds ratios. Right? But again, that's just my own preference. Yeah, people see, this is so dramatic anyway that we're not arguing about which scale it's on, right? It's very obvious. But yes, odds ratios are adjusted rates or standardized rates. We could take standardized rates as well, right? That would do the same. Okie doke. So that was that. So we kicked this around enough? Yeah. And as I say, I have more examples here as well of the bats and so on. But it's good for yourself when you're teaching or learning or telling somebody else or in your study group about effect modification. And I don't want to use the word interaction at all here. It's all about effect modification. Same statistical word, but effect modification is a better way of thinking. Have a few nice examples. Because if you know how to do that in your own head, then it's much clearer, right? But writing down a model with X1, X2, and the product of X1 and X2 is a long ways from this. See what I mean? It is the same thing. You put products in. But actually, what are you doing by putting in a product in the term? I mean, it looks like it's mathematics, but what are you doing with the product? And I'm making myself clear.
Looking at how one changes.
You are. But if you go back to our example where I give you with the ideal weight.
Yeah.
Right? Or no, the sunscreen one. The sunscreen one starts with the people who didn't have the sunscreen. So you have a relation between freckling and something, right? That's in the group who didn't have the sunscreen. Right? Then what happens? Then they're easy to do because there's no interaction terms there. It's just because basically the treatment is set to zero. So it basically means you're drawing that line first. Then what you're doing by putting treatment equals one is you're turning on the extra slope. So when I see a product, I think of a product as the main X is there, the X for freckling is there, and you're now toggling the slope. So the product is just making it kick in. Because if you multiply x1 by x2, but x2 is 0, you see what I mean? It's not adding anything. So it's a mathematical trick for toggling, flipping between things. And I think it's badly taught as x1 and x1 times x2, when you think about it. It's not something natural we would think of to make a product, but the product is just turning things on and turning things off. Right? And so do the one with the weight next week. When you're doing the one for the ideal weight, don't tell me it's a product. Tell me there'll be something else if I'm a male. Switching from a female to a male. That's toggling it on. And try and write it in that sense where you can see what's going on and off. You're turning it on and off. And you always start with the one where it's off. Right? And then it's easy to work up from that. Right? So those are the practical deliverables from here. Okie doke. Where are we? 57. Should we take a small break? Just so, and then we'll go over to the fruit flies for a bit. And then we'll talk about the math and women next. Okie doke.